Now, the Galtres Festival is on the move. In previous years, this very successful event has been in the village of Craik. But now the organisers want to move it to one of two other venues, either to Hubie or to Rawcliffe Country Park on the outskirts of York. We already know that some people in the Rawcliffe area are hardly thrilled at the prospect. We'll find out why they've got some reservations, strong ones in some cases, in just a moment. First, though, I'm joined in the studio by James Houston, who is the festival organiser. Good morning, welcome to BBC Radio York. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Tell me about the Galtres Festival, and tell me particularly why you want to move it, because it's always done well in Craik, so why is it on the move?
Well, it's actually moved several times over the years since it began just over 8 years ago. It started in Craik at the back of the Durham Ox as a small beer festival, and it's grown over the years from around 500 people that first year to upwards of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people these days. It's been in Hubie, it's been in Sutton-on-the-Forest. We've been very happy in Craik for the last 3 or 4 years. It's been a fantastic site in terms of the arena. It's a beautiful location. The problem in Craik is that the fields around it are arable fields on the whole. That means that at the end of August when we hold the festival, they're stubble. And as seems to happen on the August bank holiday weekend, there's often some rain, and that turns stubble fields into mush. And trying to park 700 or 800 cars on muddy fields is pretty difficult. And also caravans and campervans get stuck, and it's all been a bit of a mess. So
give us a bank holiday, and we will do rain in this country. And just for those who don't know, just thumbnail sketch of what actually happens at the Galtres Festival. What do you do?
Well, at the heart of it, there's still a huge beer and cider festival. There's 100 different types of beer and cider, mostly from North Yorkshire. We have 7 stages. We have bands playing, some of them from York and around the region. We also have some headliners. So last year we had Adam Ant and Billy Bragg. We had Ash, Buzzcocks, Ocean Colour Scene. So a mixture of famous bands, if you like, and the quality local bands.
OK, so you're on the move.
Absolutely.
What are your options? Where could you go?
Well, we were surprised that so many landowners offered us potential land. I think farmers are having a hard time of it. We evaluated 10 sites, and we eventually narrowed it down to 2. One of them is very close to the Craik site in Hubie. It's in some woods. It's land owned by my wife's family, which is rather convenient. It's a beautiful site. So it's in woodland with clearings where the stages and marquees could go. There's good fields around, flat grass for parking and camping. So we're seriously pursuing that as one possibility. The other one, which came up subsequent to that, was Rawcliffe Country Park. It hadn't occurred to us before to move our essentially rural festival closer to the city, but when we looked at it, it did make very good sense. We do have very close links with a lot of York-based arts organisations, the Youth Theatre, the Arts Barge, Storytellers and so on. So getting closer to them is attractive to us. But in practical terms, having that park and ride bus service every 10 minutes to and from the festival, which would continue until the festival's finished, having 1,000 or so parking spaces on tarmac, having that bike track up the river, all of these things would make organising a festival much easier for us. And there's been a lot of positive stuff coming out of York. We seem to be welcomed broadly by the city, both in terms of putting on an event for residents and attracting tourists into the city, and well, obviously having an economic impact on the city.
Somebody who's got his reservations is Derek Patterson, who joins us on the line now, resident of the Rawcliffe area. Good morning, Miss Patterson.
Good morning, Jonathan.
You've just heard there from James his outline and his basic reasons for wanting to move the Galtres Festival. One of the possible locations is the Rawcliffe Country Park, which I know is your focus of attention. What are your concerns?
I think the biggest concern, Jonathan, really is to move what is essentially a rural festival into an urban area. I can't think of many other festivals that actually take place in an urban area in proximity to something like, I think Rawcliffe's got 3,500 households, probably about 5,400 people. Upper Poppleton and Lower Poppleton, another 4,000. They were disrupted by the recent kaboom thing. So, I mean, physically, it's not really an appropriate site for what I can see as really a rural festival, which it sells itself as, and which, as far as I can see, is very well run.
Okay, yes, very well run. No one doubts that.
No, not at all.
James, a plain and simple reservation to begin with. If it's a rural festival, why on earth bring it to what is effectively somewhere just tagged on the end of an urban area?
Well, certainly once you're in Rawcliffe Country Park, it does feel very much like you're in the country. It's tree-lined, and it does have, for those people that come and are used to being perhaps out in the sticks, I think it would feel very similar to that. But being closer to the city does make it much easier for people to get there. A lot of York people would like to go to Galtrees, but have found the prospect of driving out to the middle of nowhere and possibly getting their car stuck in a bog somewhere may put them off. So we're looking to make it easier for people that want to go to be able to attend the festival.
As Derek Patterson said there, though, we're talking about an area that is adjacent to lots and lots of people's homes. Now, this festival lasts 3 days. Inevitably, it's going to attract a huge crowd. You've said as many as 7,000 in the past. I should think it would do even better than that if it was so close to York. If I were a resident in the area, I really don't know whether I would want music gigs going on till the wee small hours of the morning for 3 nights over an August bank holiday weekend.
Well, of course, we completely understand that, and we're very, very keen to minimise the impact of our event on those local people who choose not to attend. The main concern, of course, among local people is noise disturbance, and having stages running until late potentially would disturb people, and we have spoken to the Environmental Protection Unit at City of York Council to find out where people heard noise from the Kaboom event, and our proposal is very much responsive to that to make sure that doesn't happen again. There are kind of four main elements, I think, to dealing with noise. The first is the positioning of the stages. The Kaboom stage pointed more or less directly at Nether Poppleton. We would make sure that ours points in a different direction into open farmland rather than straight towards a village, so orientation is key. Also, these days, there's fairly sophisticated sound projection systems which we would deploy. The term is array system. It's been described to me as more like sniper fire than a shotgun. In other words, the sound is projected directly in front of the stage, and if you're standing there listening to your favourite band, it sounds fantastic. If you step back 50 or 100 yards, the sound levels are dramatically reduced. So we'd use those kind of technologies to minimise the impact of the noise.
Let me just, I know you want to go through that entire list, but let me just get Derek Patterson's reaction to that. Are you at all, are your fears about noise levels to begin with, Derek, are they at all calmed by what James has just had to say?
Well, I think the difficulty with technology is it depends on the weather and the wind direction. However good your technology, as even with Kaboom, I think they were pretty efficient. The fact that the weather conditions occurred such that noise went towards Poppleton, and indeed within Rawcliffe there were concerns, I think, is the problem you can't cope with. It's purely up to the weather. And we know it's maybe wet and windy on bank holidays, so I would suggest that that's probably less efficient, despite the technology.
What about the other issues that surround a festival, Derek? I mean, this is a beer and cider festival. Lots of people want to come in and park. Lots of people will perhaps want to stay for the entirety of the festival for 3 days. Can the Rawcliffe area cope with that?
Well, I have to say, I'm surprised that he repeated what he said at a meeting I attended last week about 1,000 car spaces, because, of course, this is a functioning park and ride. And this is a bank holiday weekend where, from experience, this is full up to capacity. And, I mean, already Park and Ride in York carries 3.5 million people, not this site, but it's one of them. And this is a peak weekend. So there are not 1,000 parking spaces. And, indeed, I think you'd be lucky to find sort of 100. And even then, during the day, tourists would be the prime focus of such a service. And that, I think, is a major issue, because parking during Kaboom caused disruption just in Rawcliffe to local residents who had their drives blocked, and that was a very small event compared with what's being proposed.
James, bank holiday weekend, I think the Ebor Festival is on. You're proposing to bring in thousands and thousands of people. Derek says the car park facilities that you're talking about are just not going to be enough.
Well, fortunately, we had the foresight to visit Rawcliffe Country Park last August bank holiday weekend, and the maximum number of cars parked at any one time was under 250. It's predominantly a commuter car park rather than a tourist car park. So we're counting on around 750 spaces potentially being available for festival goers, and reserving sufficient for those tourists and other visitors to the city who want to come in. They, of course, would take priority. We will have additional off-site parking and would bus people in if we need additional space. But looking at those numbers, 750 cars arriving at a festival over perhaps a 5-hour period, it's around 150 cars an hour, which in the scheme of things is a drop in the ocean. Many, many thousands of cars pass along that Northern Ring Road and down the A19.
That wasn't Derek's experience of Kaboom, sorry to interrupt you there, but, you know, apparently Kaboom was quite disruptive, and I think there is another concern, Derek, we've heard that one of the reasons for moving from Craik was that it can turn into a mud bath. I'm assuming that as a local resident, that's hardly what you want to happen to Rawcliffe Country Park.
Oh, Oh, far from it. And let me say on the park and ride that when I spoke to Peter McCarthy, who is the manager of the park and ride site, he informed me that it was full to capacity in his experience on the park and rides over the August bank holiday. So we'll wait for the council, no doubt officers, which I'll contact to get the data, which I've not seen, but rather than discuss theory, we'll look at reality.
James, where would these people stay? Because I think when, you know, people went to Craig and to other festival locations, they sort of stayed in tents, you know, as people like to do at festivals. Do the 3,500-plus homes of Rawcliffe want people pitching tents in the area? It's not very sort of conducive to the community life, is it?
Well, of course not. And the last thing we want is any unauthorised camping taking place. And we would have security and stewards in the area monitoring it and taking action if that happens. In our experience, it's never happened before. The cost of camping within the festival is around £10 for a tent. So there's very little incentive financially for people to risk camping somewhere else and potentially being moved on. We would have some camping within Rawcliffe Country Park for those people who bring a tent, and we are talking to other landowners both north and south of Rawcliffe Country Park about renting some fields for caravans and campervans and so on. The idea is that those will be connected to the festival by the cycle track, so people perhaps arriving in a caravan could cycle down to the festival each day and back along the cycle track in the evening.
Derek Patterson, if the council, the City of York Council, give the green light to this festival proposal from James, do you think that will satisfy you and other people in the Rawcliffe area that it's all going to happen okay, or would you still have reservations and possibly anger?
Well, I think they did grant a licence, as people know, for Kaboom, and that licence had a 10 p.m. music finish and had a no alcohol condition. So I was actually amazed that somebody in the York Council would suddenly come from that position, apparently, to accepting alcohol and a thing that would run till 2 a.m. and music up till 12 o'clock. So I think when it comes to the license being submitted, as is true under the law and licensing, one will have to object on the necessary things, noise, traffic congestion, etc., which are the legal positions. And I'm sure we will take a view that the licence should be opposed, and I would hope that the council, as it now stands, would listen to the evidence and actually begin to consider whether such an event is appropriate in an urban setting.
James, by the sound of it, Derek and possibly other people backing him up in the Rawcliffe area are going to stand solid against this. This is hardly what you as a festival organiser want. I mean, you want to get on with the beer and the cider and the music and people having a good time. Will the fact that there are quite clearly concerns locally make you consider this, writing off the Rawcliffe Country Park as a possible venue for Galtrees and going with the Hubie option?
This is very much a consultation period, and we are talking both with Rawcliffe Parish Council, to which I'm addressing that their next meeting in February. They've invited me along, and I hope that many of these concerns that Derek's talking about can be allayed or mitigated at that public meeting that will take place. If at the end of the day there is widespread opposition, then we would certainly consider either withdrawing or not pursuing the licensing application. But certainly more broadly, that doesn't seem to be the case. The vast majority of support is for us. Just a note on the licensing hours, if I may, which obviously Derek expressed concern about. Interestingly, it was one of the police licensing officers that recommend that we extend the operating hours of the festival, initially from 11 and then to 12 and subsequently until 2. The logic being that turfing out onto the streets at 11 p.m. after a headline performance, a few thousand revellers, is likely to lead to possible antisocial behaviour. They may, for example, try and find a local pub to get a drink. By winding down activities towards 2 a.m, after midnight there's no percussion, everything, any music is quiet and inside marquees, we contain our audience, we calm them down until they tootle off to their tent or to their bus to go home. So it's a very responsible approach by continuing until later, which is very much in the interest of local residents.
Derek, does that calm any of your fears?
Not at all, Jonathan. The licensing authority he's discussing is Hambleton, who were discussing a rural site, and who realised that when, I think, about 1,000 people a day were day sort of trippers rather than 4,000 camping on site, they took the view that they would rather have a gentle, quiet dispersal in a rural area. And whereas here, in theory, would they come out and get on a park and ride bus and be in the middle of York? So, no, that doesn't reassure me, because I think it's set in a rural setting and the conditions were logical there, and by applying here for his licence, I think our present licensing officer has taken on board the previous licence and said, yep, we'll run with those.
But gentlemen, we're going to have to stop there. Derek Patterson, thank you very much indeed. Nick Houston, organiser of the Galtres Festival. I have a feeling this is not the last we've heard of this. We shall probably return to it. If you live in the Rawcliffe area, or maybe in the Hubie, or indeed Craik area, and you want to have your say on the subject, pick up the phone and join in the discussion on 01904 641 641.